You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So this is going to be your time, Coug fans. 8 o'clock Thursday mornings, we're going to talk with the head coach, Dana Holgorsen, right here on ESPN 97.5. As the Cougs get ready for a game that's been a long time in the making, all the way since Saturday. And they're going to take on the Baylor Bears on Saturday. In 1 week, they got this whole thing together. Dana Holgorsen is with us here on ESPN 97.5. What's up, Dana?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing well, man. So this is unheard of, Dana. No one has ever scheduled a game. Like, I guess if you're in some kind of a semi-pro league, hey, you want to play next week? Yeah, let's play. Major college football, this is the first time in history this has ever happened, that you play a game in 1 week.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true or not. It's funny. It hasn't been a long time coming, as in a week. It's been 25 years the last time that Houston and Baylor played, which that kind of shocked me a little bit. You know, obviously, you know, there's an old Southwest Conference and, you know, a lot of historic games back in the day. It's a game that should be played. It's a game that needed to be played. I commend both administrations for making it happen. I think COVID made it happen, and I think COVID allowed it to happen. You know, when you're talking about travel parties that are pretty big, well, in the COVID world, travel parties are going to be relatively small. And then there's hotels available, and there's buses available. So calling and getting hotels and buses at the last minute in today's day and time was a little easier. So logistically, it was made possible, and I'm thankful for that. I think both teams are wanting to play each other, and the players want to play, the coaches want to play, and the fan bases are going to enjoy it as well.
Dana Holgorsen with us, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue. He's brought to you by Damaris Barbecue this week. I saw Yanni last night, as a matter of fact, and he was like, yeah, I want to sponsor Dana. Absolutely. Let's go. Damaris Barbecue is where we get all of our Mexican food every single time we go there. So if you're looking for that Mexican food, the best Mexican restaurant.
But it's barbecue.
Yeah, I know, but what we eat there is Mexican usually.
Okay.
So
quite a ringing endorsement.
That's kind of an inside joke there.
Not really. You say that every time.
We actually promote Damaris Barbecue. We do promote it. We promote it as they're our friends, and this is a great family restaurant. It's been around for a long time. They got all kinds of great food, especially barbecue. Their catering is outstanding, but their Mexican food is second to none.
Yeah, it is. It actually, the fajitas are great, and he makes a taco nacho. With the fajita beef, that is, or not the fajita beef, but he uses his beef, and it's excellent, excellent, excellent. It is an inside joke, but they're, if you go there, the fajitas are really, really good. Anyways,
brisket tacos.
Yeah, brisket tacos as well. They're excellent. So get on over to Damaris. We go and we watch games there. As a matter of fact, we were there last week watching games, and we watched the Texans there. As a matter of fact, so it's good, clean fun for the whole family. Get on over to Damaris Barbecue. So Baylor, how do you get ready in 1 week for a game, Dana? You guys love to study. You guys are always, you know, you want to be as prepared as possible. When you know you're only playing a team and you only got, you know, during a regular season, I guess you only got you got 6 days anyway, right?
Yeah, you know, people say that. Man, I tell you, we're really prepared for this game. We're up in the office watching video for 3 months all summer, and we can't wait to play this first game. Well, about 90% of these first games, you don't know what to expect anyway, you know, because they got coaching changes. They have 9 months to prepare. You know, they may change things. They may base it on personnel. There's just so many things that can happen. Now, you got to have a starting point, you know, and when this thing came about, you know, I had a call with Chris Pesman on Friday night, and you know, we thought it would be there was going to be a possibility, and so we worked the phones on Saturday, and probably, you know, early mid-afternoon on Saturday, we kind of knew it was going to happen. So I called my three analysts, and it was our off day, you know, and you know, we've been working pretty hard for about 8 weeks, but the one thing that I've mandated is So for about the first 4 or 5 weeks, I've mandated coaches and players stay away from the office twice a week. Then, you know, for the last 3 or 4 weeks, you know, I mandated that they stay away from the office for 1 day a week. And so that was our 1 day that we were going to take off, and you got to give them a day off to the NCAA rules, not coaches, but players. But we were ready to go. You know, we had been working on Memphis for about a week, and, you know, we were ready for a good game week, which was going to start on Sunday. So I was just kind of chilling at my house and working the phones, and I thought it was going to happen. So I called the coordinators, and I called the analysts. We have an offense, defense, and special teams analysts, and I said, start doing your research because we got to get things ready to go. We're going to start game planning for Baylor tomorrow morning, you know, and so we started doing our research, and we figured out where it was. Video is so easy to get. As Lance knows, he's got just access to as much college video as you possibly want. So we're able to get the video and kind of study it and figure out where these coaches were from. So obviously, it's a new staff there at Baylor, and got to kind of go on what we think is going to happen. And as most game ones are, it's really pretty much about what you think is going to happen, and then once you see what happens, you got to be able to adjust on the fly. So, you know, that's why I got confidence going into this game, because we got a staff that's been together for about 18 months now, and we understand our schemes, and our players understand our schemes, and we're going to be able to adjust very quickly.
I'm curious, so you're taking on, so you study a team that has a new coaching staff with Dave Aranda coming in for Matt Rhule. But so I would assume your analysts, are they watching just a lot of LSU stuff in terms of what Dave Aranda wants to do defensively, or how do you project? You can know what their talent looks like. Do you have a feel for what they're going to do offensively now?
Yeah, that's the trick. You want to kind of get to know their personnel. So you go back and you watch Baylor stuff, but you don't look at the schemes. I mean, usually you can just look at your opponent, study personnel and schemes at the same time. You know, so you kind of try to figure out their schemes. Well, you know, defensively they lost like 9 guys. So that's kind of tough to do anyway. You know, and offensively they got guys back, but they added some as well. So you figure out their personnel, you put it down on paper, you look at their depth chart, then you figure out what you got to do from a scheme perspective. For instance, Larry Fedora, offensive coordinator at Baylor, you can go back and watch, you know, some of his stuff for years. You know, and if you get North Carolina video, try to figure out if that's truly his or if it's an offensive coordinator's or how much it's changed throughout the years. He spent a year at Texas. Is he going to bring some things from Texas? I mean, it's kind of guesswork. He has kind of merged that together. Joe Wickline's his offensive line coach, was with me at West Virginia for 3 years. How much is he going to merge and have opinions on it? That's stuff you try to figure out. Their special teams coordinator came from Louisiana Lafayette. You pull a bunch of Louisiana Lafayette video. I feel like we're playing Louisiana Lafayette because their defensive coordinator came from Louisiana Lafayette as well. You know, and Ron Roberts worked with Dave Aranda way back in the day. Dave was his defensive coordinator at Delta State. And so then Dave hires Ron, and Intel says that Ron's going to call it, but how much is Ron going to call it? I don't know. I mean, Dave Aranda's a pretty successful defensive coordinator. The last time I checked, won a national championship last year. So you study LSU and you study Lafayette, and you just kind of guess. You know, now, fortunately, they're fairly similar, and, and it's a little bit of guesswork. You know, so you just study that video, and you come up with your best idea, and then you hold your breath for play one, and you figure it out after that.
And, you know, you mentioned 8 weeks now. You know, when you and I were talking after it happened on Saturday, you were like, we need this game. We got you had a scrimmage, and the guys were like, hey, dude, we got to play somebody.
I was concerned about this week. And, you know, heck, they were telling me about Memphis during the day on Friday. I mean, today's day and time, you can't hide anything, you know, and so it's all over Twitter about how Memphis is, you know, got some issues and, you know, things about party buses and all that good stuff. Well, you know, I'm trying to just keep our players focused on, you know, so we have a team meeting. I go, guys, we can't worry about anything. What we're about to do here tonight is all about us. It doesn't matter if we're playing Memphis this week or North Texas in 2 weeks or whatever. We always got to stay ready. I think in today's pandemic, we got to be ready to adjust quickly. I don't think this is the last time scheduling is going to change for the Cougars here this year. I think you're just going to have to kind of roll with the punches and stay ready and worry about yourself. We had 175 negative tests yesterday, you know, so our team's ready, you know, and after the it was kind of a mock scrimmage. It really wasn't a beat down scrimmage, because if I would have stolen the tackle each other, I think the frustrations of if we're going to play would have kicked in. So it was all structural stuff on the sidelines and pregame and how we're managing things from a substitution perspective. I mean, it felt like a game in our stadium with crowd noise and music and silence, which we're expecting all that stuff on Saturday. Potentially, you know, some band snafus as well. So, you know, that's what that was. And when it was over, I talked to them. I was like, guys, we just got to stay ready. That's the only thing I can say is we got to stay ready. But they're looking at me like, are we playing or not? You know, and I'm like, I can't answer that right now. But just stay ready. And then sure enough, the next day I had a call with my eight captains and I asked them if they wanted to play Baylor. They said, hell yeah, and here we go.
Yep, here we go. And we got Dana Holgorsen here, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue, every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock. Let's take a quick one here. And on the other side, I want to talk to you about what's already happening in college football around the league. So let's talk for a minute about Champion Energy. Being a champion means with Champion Energy, I'm moving mine over. We're moving. So I'm moving mine over. It just takes one phone call, and it can't be simpler. That's the only time I've ever called Champion Energy. You know, they say the number one in service. But J.D. Power & Associates says, like, 5 years running, they were number one in customer service. I don't know, because I never called them for it. I've never had an issue with them ever. And my bill is so low, and I just can't be happier about the decision I made about a dozen years ago to go with Champion Energy. And I'm telling you, you will too. My buddy Justin switched over and he goes, you are right. Holy cow, I am saving a bunch of money. It's like night and day from 1 month to the next after he switched over. You'll see that too. All you got to do is go to champion.energy/1560. That's champion.energy/1560.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back on ESPN 97.5. So, we've got some games already. Dana Holgorsen is with us here on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue. We've had some games already, and you and I were watching Texas State. And we're, you know, obviously how much time you work with Jake, how much we like Jake, what a great guy, Jake and Zach both there. And to lose that game the way that they did, I was even getting texts from Dell. Dell's like, do you believe this? First of all, the comeback to return a kickoff or a punt rather, and tie the game with 1:05 left, and then the kicker blows it for you. You go to overtime, and then the kicker can't kick a field goal either. So you feel, and you're just like, oh my goodness, how terrible that goes on your record. What's the worst job? You don't have to name the kicker, just the situation. What's the worst that you've got jobbed by a kicker?
Oh man, yeah, he was a freshman kicker too. Right. You know, over there, I feel bad for Jake. I mean, that's just, it's a part of the game, man. I mean, you got to feel really good about. Yeah, you got to obviously practice it, and if you feel good about it, that's the call. If you don't, then you got to do something else. I mean, there's been times where it's football, and every game's different, every year's different. I mean, there's been times where we just went for two every time. You know, there's been times where there's some times at Texas Tech that we onside kicked every time. You know, so I don't know, man. I mean, I'd have to study that and think about that from a kicker's perspective, but. Heck, they've won me some, too. You know, I played up in Lubbock 4 years ago, and Josh Lambert hit a 54-yard field goal as time expired and rushed the field, and that was a great moment. Let's focus on the positives with kickers, you know. Cliff texted me after the game. He goes, it's the best kick I've ever seen in my life, and he was just distraught. So he got beat by I think Josh was a freshman that year, too. So, you know, it's the game of football. It's why we love it. It's why we play it. It's why we watch it. It's why we obsess over it, is because you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I like your attitude.
There's John asking, yeah. Let me focus on the negative real quick for a second, Coach. What's the worst you've ever been jobbed?
You know when you... Hey, the Texans got jobbed. Joe Burrow got jobbed this week by his kicker.
He hurt himself.
Yeah. Oh, sure he did.
As soon as he missed, he's like, oh!
Oh, my leg! Oh, my arm! No. But I like your attitude with kickers anyway. I don't know anything about it. Just go kick. Go make field goals for me.
Well, they don't need extra pressure, though, do they, Coach? I mean, pressure's self-created anyway. And I always find it interesting. You see players don't really interact with kickers before the kick, or they're being positive. But when you have guys who are really confident kickers, you feel really good. But there are some guys you probably know, right? Where that, you know the guys that you leave alone, and you know the ones that you can say something to because they're naturally confident guys.
Yeah, you got to treat them. You got to treat them a little different. You got to treat them as kickers a little different as well. You're right, just based on what their attitude is like. We got a pretty level-headed kicker here, Dalton Witherspoon's. He broke some record last year, at consecutive field goals made in a season or something like that. Kind of a big deal, but I'd like to be able to, potentially score touchdowns when we get closer to field goal range this year, as opposed to having to kick field goals. That's my, we could move the ball pretty good last year, but we ended it with kicks most of the time, which is, they say that's a good thing, but in reality it's not. I mean, if you're excited about flipping the field on a punt and settling for a field goal, you're probably going to finish 4-8. So the punt aspect of it is a reality. And we had an Australian punter last year that flipped the field. We got a new Australian punter and Lane Wilkins that has a big leg. I'm excited about watching him flip the field. But you want to make first downs and continue the drive. And then when you get into that red area, it's especially in the college game, which the NFL game is a little different, although I do think it's changing a little bit. The goal of scoring touchdowns, that percentage is raising. It used to be, all you want to do is score 100% of the time, as in a field goal or a touchdown. That's not necessarily true. The stat and the analytics and everything used to be, about 66% of the time you need to score a touchdown. Two out of three times down there you need to score a touchdown. I think that number is closer to 75 now. I think you got to get down there about four times and score touchdowns on three. That's just more points, which is why you see people going for it more.
Coach, I'm curious, what do analysts do? I know that's become a big part of the first time I heard about it was with, Nick Saban hired all these analysts. Well, they're all ex-head coaches, big-name guys, a lot of them. Al Groh was one of his, from the Jets and from the NFL, was one of his analysts at one point. Or his son was, one or the other. But I'm kind of curious, what exactly do the analysts do, and when did that become a big thing in college football?
Yeah, it used to be GAs, and now GAs are so important with actually coaching. You get four GAs, two on offense, two on defense, and those guys do so much coaching that it's hard for a lot of those guys to do the legwork. I think Coach Saban has, I think Butch Jones is one of his analysts, and Mike Stoops and Major Applewhite, and so he's getting big time coaches to be their analysts. I'm not sure how he motivates those guys to do all the legwork, everything, but they do all this stuff. They do all the prep. They can't coach, so it's all the office stuff. It's the breaking down of the film. It's the making sure that the scripts are right. Developing videos, teaching tapes, learning tools. I think the more of them you have, the more, we don't have the office space to have, like, I think LSU had like 20 last year, and I don't know what you do with all those guys. I think it's extremely important and very critical to have one on offense and one on defense and one on special teams to where they can do all the legwork for you. I mean, my guy on offense is Mike Burchett. He's been with me for about 8 years now, and he's got things done before I even get into the office. So it just makes the job flow a lot easier.
Does he give you like, hey, coach, we're calling this run too much on first down, or is it that kind of information?
Self-scouting?
Yeah, self-scouting. Do you do a lot of that?
Yeah, it's everything. It's organizing kind of the playbook. It's developing the play scripts for today. You know, I'm going to go in there and we're going to have a walkthrough here in about an hour. We're going to meet here in about an hour and have a walkthrough in about an hour and a half. And when I get in there, he's going to already have the script ready. So we watched, we practiced last night. We watched the film last night. He listens to everything the coaches are saying, and he makes scripts for the walkthroughs that happen after practices and stuff the next day. So we'll go in there, and he's like, here's the 20 plays that you guys had some problems with. You know, here's the eight plays in, on third down, the eight plays in the red zone, the three plays on the goal line. Here's the two-point play you guys discussed. Here's the six openers that y'all want. And then he'll put the defenses in it as well and draw up the cards. So those guys work probably more than coaches, you know, when it comes to the organizational aspect of thing. Now, I'm not saying coaches don't work very hard. I mean, those guys got to deal with personalities with players, and, you know, they're on their phones with recruiting the entire time. They're, you know, spending time with boosters and stuff. So these guys got a lot on their plate. So what the analysts do is try to make the actual practice more organized where they maximize their time with their players.
Dan Holgerson with us here on ESPN 97.5. You talk about all those plays. How much of it is, hey, Clayton, you like this play? Hey, Clayton, what do you feel comfortable with on that? How much do you do that, or is it just this is what we're going to run?
Yeah, I think that comes with experience and maturity. Okay, so you know, if it's an inexperienced guy, then he's just going to look at you for guidance as in what plays do we run and how do I make it successful. You know, and that's what I'm excited about, Clayton. Just as far as, you know, he's going into his third year, and he's played in already almost a dozen games. You know, this year is not going to count. So whatever he gets this year is the bonus, and then he's going to have 2 years after that. So things I can already tell for him, things are starting to make sense and things are starting to slow down to where he does spend a little bit extra time up in the office. You know, kind of saying, I don't know if I like that so much. I think we need to maybe, you know, cut that play, or you know, what about this play that we ran in camp? I remember that. That makes more sense to me. The more maturity and the more experience that they get, certainly the easier that is, because you want those guys to feel comfortable, you know. And he's got a little sidekick in Logan, you know, that's been in that office for about 15 years now and kind of understands things. And so Logan's a good sounding board for him, you know, just as far as what he sees and what he would have done and looking for help as well. So, you know, I like where Clayton's at. You know, he's making all the throws. His timing with the receivers looks really good right now. You know, I think the O-line's shaping up, you know, to where we might be able to give him just a little bit of time to be able to complete some balls.
Yeah. All right. Best of luck, man. We're out of time here. We want to thank Damaris Barbecue once again for sponsoring the Dana Holgerson Show Thursday mornings right here, 8 o'clock, ESPN 97.5. Looking forward to finally going to play a game. Can't believe it. Going to Baylor, and it'll be some kind of fun, man. We appreciate you being here, and best of luck up there.
Oh, always good. I appreciate you guys.
All right. There's Dana Holgerson right here. On ESPN 97.5. Let's bring in Suzanne Hobbs. She's the director of communications with Boomer Naturals. I got as a matter of fact, right now I'm going back and forth with Better Call Joel, Suzanne, and he says, so there's a regular size, there's a large size mask. What does the average adult get? And I said, well, how big is your face? I don't know how big your face is, right? So, right. So how do you decide if you're an adult what size Boomer Natural mask I'm going to get?
You know, we offer six different sizes, like you said, because everybody's face is different. But we also have some measurements on the website as well. Or if you go to CVS, the measurements are on the bags. But yeah, most people just kind of get that regular medium type of size. A lot of guys get the large or the extra large if they have a beard. So, but also a lot of people get kind of the smaller size for women or guys if you have a thinner face. So, but that's why we offer different sizes, is we want one that's going to give you a really good fit.
Well, and I like a bigger mask, and I don't want it too tight, and I don't want it to pull my ears, you know. No. I don't, you know, I've worn my Boomer Naturals for a while. And the back of your ears hurt. It's not the case with the Boomer Naturals.
And we have adjustable ear loops. And so that helps you create a better fit, because you do want a good seal on the mask. And isn't it funny that we're talking about masks, you know, but we're going to be wearing masks for a while. It's important that you have one that gives you a good fit. But also what's great is we offer neck gaiters, and a lot of people that play sports like to wear a neck gaiter. That's just kind of what they like. And ours have that nano silver in the neck gaiters as well as the cloth masks. It's going to give you really great protection, but also lots of fun patterns and colors because you want to express yourself too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And now here's the deal though. I don't know. At CVS right now, if you use my promo code Granado at BoomerNationals.com, you get 20% off. Is it a better deal to go online or go to CVS?
Well, you'll save the 20% if you go online, yes. But there's also great convenience when you go to CVS. But, you know, they're under $10 for a mask, you know, about $8 for kids. And some of the CVSs actually charge kind of different prices. So we're hearing that they're a great deal when you stop at CVS. But also you can get one today if you need it. And that's what's really good about being able to get it that way.
Absolutely. So if you need it right away, get over to CVS. If not, go to BoomerNaturals.com, put in promo code Granado, and save 20% right now on your Boomer Naturals. Suzanne, great talking to you. Best of luck. We love our Boomer Naturals face covering. So we appreciate you, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks for having me on.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back on ESPN 97.5. So we touched on the Astros, we touched on the Rockets, we touched on the Texans. We haven't touched on Kanye West peeing on his Grammy Award, have we? Have you seen that video, though?
No.
Yeah. It's in the toilet, the Grammy Award he put in the toilet, and you can't see, all you see is the stream, the urine stream, hitting the Grammy Award. And he's so bipolar. How about he's asked
in real life?
He's asked
IRL.
His president, he's asked his staff that they not have fornicate premarital sex. They not have any premarital sex. He's asked them that. His whole staff.
Kanye has,
yeah.
Who's married to Kim Kardashian?
Yes, right.
What does that have to do with anything?
Well,
he's
I just
married.
Think that's
how do you know? Do you know if they had premarital sex? No,
I'm assuming they didn't.
You don't
I'm
know.
I'm assuming she didn't have premarital sex with anyone.
Well, we got proof that she did.
Well, what? That was a long time ago.
Yeah,
Christianity. You know, you get saved because you know.
That just
you,
comes
you,
off
you
as
repent. It's not hypocritical.
I did it, but I don't want you doing it.
No, it's not hypocritical. Oh, by the way, religion's not hypocritical at all. They repented for their sins, and now they're children of faith.
You co-sign? I like that. I like that it's your faith-based now.
I've always been faith-based.
No.
What?
Are you saving yourself?
Saving myself for what?
You saving yourself?
Yeah, you save yourself for marriage.
I'm not getting married.
For marriage.
Then you need to save yourself.
Then you need to be chased. You need to be chased the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Then.
You need to be like a priest.
No.
Not exactly like one. Don't.
Father TJ listens. I don't want this too.
I don't need to be like a priest.
Yeah, you kind of do.
Which type? There's one preacher.
There's one preacher on this show.
Well, he's preacher, not priest. He's different.
Yeah, no. Right. John was preaching yesterday.
I wasn't preaching. I was just quoting verse.
No, it was good. Do you still have that, Dell? You had the music, you had everything. That John was preaching on the Rockets.
I was not preaching on the Rockets.
Talking about shepherds.
Yeah,
that could have been the Texans, the Astros, or the Rockets.
1 Peter 5:1-4 is what it is. That's it.
Do you remember Jeremy Foster's whenever he...
Oh, Lord!
Healed their bats!
We need Jeremy with this team.
I got it on my phone.
We need Jeremy with this team. We need Jeremy Foster.
When you hear the names of the lineup, he's... Mm-mm. Lord Jesus, Luke Scott's bat. I'm like, oh, gross. Help heal Adam Everett's bat. And I'm like, God almighty, this is the worst. I can't stand listening to this.
Oh, there it is. There's the music. Dell had music for you.
John, you have anything you want to say to your flock?
Yes, I do. Lord, Lordy, Lord, please help Tyrell Hatton as he's 2 under right now through 3 at the U.S. Open.
Why Tyrell Haddon?
Well, one of your guys? I got to give Tyrell some power. Okay.
Tyrell. That's an odd name for golf.
It is an odd name for... Rory McIlroy.
Yeah.
It's glorious at 2 under.
Amen.
Davis Thompson. Never heard of him. Please, Lord, make that putter go away. Because he's 2 under and leading the pack, and I don't have him on my fantasy team.
Yeah. Protect that man's fantasy golf team, Lord.
Yeah. Lordy, lordy.
Make his putter stop.
Where is Webb Simpson with a 9-iron in his hand? I need him to have some power with that 9-iron today. Justin Thomas as well. Now, I'm not preaching.
I'm
not
a privilege of putter, Lord.
You quote one verse, and all of a sudden, now all of a sudden, you're...
Yeah.
No.
We liked it.
You're Deacon John.
Deacon John's pretty nice.
Tiger Woods, 1 over through 4. Colin Morikawa, 1 over through 4, and I need him to step up big time. Let's go, Colin Morikawa. I need Colin Morikawa in a bad way. We're underway. Davis Thompson is 2 under through 7. Now, for those of you, okay, so here's the deal. I guess they eased up just a hair. That's the word, was that they weren't going to make it, because it can be, I'm telling you, this course can be so, so brutal. With Charlie and Billy, grew up there, okay? He grew up at Winged Foot. His dad was the pro there forever, for 20-some years. He's the head pro there. Uh-huh. So Billy basically grew up there.
So I was watching. Winged Foot apparently is, according to the players, it's like the hardest course they've ever played.
Yes. The first 5 holes, Charlie said, you could be 5 over. You can be. It's that hard. And there's zero water, zero out of bounds on it. Zero.
So are we going to expect a minus score?
Well, here's the deal. A 5 over has won
the
U.S. Open there before. I think a 7 over. Hey, listen, Bobby Jones won a U.S. Open there. Bobby Jones, back in 1929,
he won
his U.S. Open.
We used to talk about that a little bit when we did the golf show about how, with Dick Harmon and Charlie, about there's a fine line between a challenging course and just a ridiculous course, where it's more about survival.
Right. Well, apparently this was supposed to be, they said if you dropped a ball at your knee into the rough, you couldn't see it. Mm-hmm. Right over it.
Yeah.
So Billy actually is there this week as a spotter. He's working different holes.
Oh, is he?
You
really
have to be on the course when the ball comes, because if it comes into the rough, it will be lost.
So how do you know? So you just have to have a feel for how far you are away with the drive. Like they're just...
God, yeah, you know how far. It's 300 yards away.
You're about 280 to smack by the golf ball.
Well, you can see it. I'm amazed. I mean, we got a caddy a lot of times, Carlton Woods. Candy, she's wonderful. And I'm amazed because you hit it right at her and she always knows. They can tell. Golf people can tell where the ball is going off the tee. And for whatever reason, they're really, really good at that. I would get hit by it. Because I would lose it, too.
I lose it when I drive it. I lose it.
Oh, I can't. I never. I always ask, where is
it? I always have somebody in the foursome who can see everything. You always have to have one guy who, I see it.
Yep.
Left by the second tree.
Right. Exactly. No, I'm with you on that one. But they're good at this. So, anyway, but apparently they've eased it up just a hair. And, to be 2 under, Rory to be 2 under through 4 holes is really, 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 really good, because the first 5 holes are really difficult, and then the last 5 holes are very difficult. And then Charlie and Billy said last week, you know, there's a good run where you can make some birdies in there, that there actually is. But they've got a 250-yard par 3. They've got a 500-some-yard par 4. It's 500-yard-some.
Yep.
And the fairways are narrow.
It's gonna be a tough.
No water, no out of bounds, and yet this is one of the toughest tests that they'll face.
How far in is Tiger?
Tiger's 4 holes in, and he's 1 over.
It really would be good if he could make a little challenge here.
Yeah. Yes. No. It would be great for golf if
he could. Phil? Somebody put that big bet on Phil.
Yeah. Somebody put, what was it?
Was it 46,000? No, it's 46 to 1. Was the bet, right?
Yeah, but he bet like $5,000.
Pays over a million.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it pays out over a million, because Phil's like 46 to 1. Whatever the bet was, it will pay out over a million, and Phil's like, well, hope for both of us you get there.
Oh, speaking of which, I found out, you know, I told you about that pool I'm in where it pays every second. Yeah. It's 69 cents a second.
okay.
that the Texans are 0-0. So everybody root for 0-0. 69 seconds.
I'm not rooting for 0-0.
Yeah.
I'll root for 20-10.
Every second.
What about 20-10?
20-10. Yeah, that's fine.
Takes a little while.
That's fine. That's fine. Yeah. But yeah, right. It will take a little time. So every minute.
What if it goes to overtime? Doesn't matter. You don't count.
Every minute, it's $41.
Every minute.
Every minute, it's $41.
Oh, because of every second.
Second. What? It's 69 cents a second.
How's that possible?
How
much money is in that?
A lot of money. Yeah. It was 100 squares. The whole season was $400 a square.
A square, but why is it a square?
It's 100 squares. And you put zero and zero, and you got, and that's where.
Yeah, but 69, if it stays there the whole time. So even into the second quarter, you get part of that, I guess?
Well, you get as long as it's 0-0. If it goes back to 10-10, 10-0, then you start up again. No seconds.
It's like a stopwatch.
However long, right. However long
it's on
that. So
it's not truly square. It's squares, but it's not quarter by quarter.
No, it's second by second.
Jeez.
Yes. Quality. It's awesome.
Actually, I like that better than squares.
Oh, yeah. Than quarters, yeah. Yeah, because every time it changes the score...
Of course, you have people. I guess you can just look at drives, scoring drives.
How long you had it. Right. That's how you look at it. That's how you do it. Huh. 840 ESPN 97.5. Let's get LSU Brian in here and let's talk about the Astros. What do you say, LSU Brian?
What's going on, guys? I got a question. The Astros are sitting in the last playoff spot. They're only two ahead of Seattle. So they have 11 games left, and three of those are. Actually against Seattle, so those would be big games. So I haven't paid a lot of attention to baseball this year, so I'll get y'all's opinion on, as of right now, if they're 8 seed, 1 seed is the White Sox, and I'm not too familiar with the White Sox. I mean, they have the best run differential, but, you know, if Houston moves up, they got a lot of easy games, you know. 9 out of the 11 are Texans, the Rangers, and who else was it? The other bottom feeder, Arizona. So would y'all stay in that spot and face Chicago? Because Tampa Bay still scares me. They're sitting number two. So I'm just wondering what y'all's thought is on, you know, the placement.
Well, so the Astros would have to move down to play the White Sox. Uh-huh. Because it's the first and second of each division, and then it's the seventh and eighth teams. The Astros would actually have to move down into the eighth wild card spot to play the best team, which would be the White Sox. So, and then the second wild card will play Tampa. The third second place team would play the third first place team, and then the two best second place teams would play each other in the first round. So that would be Yankees and Minnesota. That would be Astros, A's. It would be White Sox. And
I don't want that. I don't want the A's.
Well, you got the A's.
I'm not interested in going to California.
You probably got the A's.
I'm not interested in going to California. The air quality.
Well, yeah. And then how about that they're going to have it in Los Angeles, too? Mm-hmm. Arizona, Arlington, Los Angeles, and Houston are the four sites of the... of the divisional rounds. I mean, what? Why are you going to Los Angeles? That's just dumb. Anyway.
playing football games there, too.
MLB postseason. And so, postseason schedule. Okay, so... It right now, the Astros are the third best, second best team... second place team, so they would get as we speak. I believe it's still the A's. The A's won yesterday. The Astros lost yesterday. Goodness gracious! Score a flipping run for McCullers. That would be awesome. That'd be great if you guys could just do that one time. Just win a game. That would be just great. So you don't have to worry about. You're still sweating out. You're still sweating the Mariners.
Mm-hmm.
You're only two games ahead of them. You're only two games ahead of them right now as we speak. The best record. Is the White Sox, second best Tampa, third best Oakland. So the Astros have Oakland still. Minnesota and the Yankees would play, and then Toronto, right now Toronto would play Tampa, and Cleveland would play the White Sox. So
you know, this feels like it is. It's crazy when all we talked about is Astros and Yankees, and I mean, this feels like White Sox, Tampa, and A's. It's to me, it feels like this is their year. White Sox because they're hitting so many home runs, they're so dangerous offensively. The A's are, you know, really turning into a complete team where I didn't think that.
Don't
was possible.
Sleep on the Yankees,
but the. I'm not going to.
But they've won 7 in a row now.
Yeah.
You get those two back.
And but, you know, the Rays are another team with so much. They just got the pitching, I think, to knock out the Yanks. But you're right. If the Yanks are starting to hit their form, I guess they probably are the favorite, even though they've just been sitting there hanging on. But I didn't realize it was already up to 7 wins.
Yeah, they're 7 straight. Gerrit Cole. Through 7 innings of one earned run, and they don't have Judge or Stanton. I mean, and they're on a roll. Judge is back, and they're on a roll. You just can't sleep on the Yankees,
right?
This is a lot like again. It's that Portland thing. Wait, they're the fifth seed in this thing right now. When they're the New York Yankees, and with that lineup, and with that rotation, and that bullpen, and they've had a lot of injuries. Yeah. So they're dangerous no matter what. And then you're playing on a neutral field. You're playing in a bubble once you get to the next round. They will have home field against the Twins, and then they'll have a neutral site. I wonder what Vegas will do. But Stan comes back, Judge is back. The Yankees might be the favorite. The betting favorite.
Well, you have to. I mean, you have to push them, even if they don't deserve it per se, based on merit of season. Let's be real: the potential and what the public would bet. You have to.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to.
No, push them. The Yankees will. The public will definitely.
What
jump
happens
up.
If Verlander comes back? I still don't think it changes much.
Not since he hasn't pitched. He's got to pitch a game or two.
He hasn't pitched, and you're not hitting.
Yeah, those two things are really bad.
Well, let me tell you about our friends over at Boomer Naturals. You know, one of the big changes we're all dealing with is wearing a mask. We understand that. But it's starting to become more of a new normal. But it gets much easier when you know that you are not only comfortable but protected with Boomer Naturals. And they come in sizes for adults, teens, children's. And they have 3 layers. They're super comfortable and highly breathable mask. The 3 layers is extremely important, according to scientists. They also have the NanoSilver technology that can block tiny drops and particles from getting into the nose and mouth, which is the important thing here with COVID-19. Another great thing is Boomer donates 1 face covering for every order to a nonprofit and a charity helping tens of thousands of Americans in need. So that's something we really love here at ESPN 97.5. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com using promo code SPORTSMAP. BoomerNaturals.com using promo code SPORTSMAP, you're going to get 20% off. Or if you're just looking for convenience, stop by your local CVS. Get free shipping and handling when you spend at least $50 online at BoomerNaturals.com.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776, the number if you would like to get in here.
Hey, are you excited about, excited about Jamie Foxx becoming Mike Tyson?
I think he should be Jimmy Butler.
There is some similarity.
Oh,
to
no,
Butler.
He looks just like Jimmy Butler. Yeah. Looks just like Jamie Foxx.
But not now, because Jamie Foxx has more. He's going for more of a Mike Tyson vibe because he's doing the biopic, and I'm really looking forward to seeing that. It did come out.
My bad. San Diego is one of the sites, not Phoenix. I apologize.
It did come out that Robin Givens. He's bulking up to play Mike Tyson on silver screen. Tyson's first wife, Robin Givens, was prepping to potentially go toe-to-toe in court. but Givens may have already won a TKO, as Tyson's camp told us that there are no plans for their relationship to be in the biopic. Tyson and Givens were married. Lawyers for Givens sent Tyson and Fox a cease and desist letter. Page Six has exclusively learned to demand that Mr. Tyson cease and desist from further defaming Ms. Givens and to put those producing, writing, and or directing the proposed Tyson biopic and those producing Mike Tyson's podcast, yada, 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 about portraying Ms. Givens in a false, negative, and defamatory light. So they are not going to have – you're doing a biopic on Mike Tyson, and you're not going to have anything about Robin Givens? I mean, Robin Givens and Don King were the beginning – and the death of Customato were the beginning of, you know, the end of the career, at least, of Mike Tyson. What we saw in Mike Tyson's career was just kind of – for those of us who are Mike Tyson fans – It was a shell of Mike Tyson. I mean, you had him bite in the ear of Evander Holyfield after the rape stuff. He went to prison. He was never the same. His boxing style. He stopped the head movement. He just stopped doing what had gotten him there and what had made him great. But the Robin Givens things was you know, she's clowning Mike on national television, mm-hmm. on Barbara Walters. How do you not have that in there? But I guess it's because you had cease and desist, and you're not going to stop. You've already started this project. You can't just stop it, I guess. But it's going to be a little strange not to have – they're going to have to make reference to it about his marriage without mentioning her by name. We'll see what they do with that. But I am very interested to see how that works out. I thought Will Smith did a pretty good job with Ali. Did you like Ali? It was Michael Bay, I know. And Will Smith got – you know, the boxing was pretty fluid. His body type was very, very similar to Ali's. Tyson is going to take – that's going to take a lot of work to make it as believable for Mike Tyson, but we'll see what happens. But I don't know if you liked Ali, the documentary. I mean, not documentary.
The movie.
The movie. I liked it okay.
It was okay.
It's just – it's hard.
I don't know. I didn't buy him as Ali. I don't know. I think it'll be interesting to see how they but you can't have Robin Givens out of it. You can't.
But they're saying they can't because it's defamatory. You got to be able to mention her or mention the marriage. I guess you just can't comment on her, maybe. I don't know. But that was huge. That was a big part of Mike Tyson. That was in the middle of Mike Tyson going from great Mike Tyson to embroiled Mike Tyson. So I don't know how they're going to do that, but I am excited about seeing it. I am excited about – it's not done, I don't think. I don't even know what happened with the shooting with COVID or whatever. I think it started after COVID is when he started getting ready for it. So I don't know what that looks like. I will tell you something I started watching yesterday, The Social Dilemma. Wow. Holy crap. On Netflix, watch The Social Dilemma, and you will see how screwed we are as a world. Not as a nation, but as a world. My guess is you've already seen it, Dell. Yes or no?
I have not seen it.
Okay. So the guys who are on
Behind
it, you're
again?
Talking about... What are you we're talking about...
Okay, Umbrella Academy.
We're talking about professors from...
Okay, Pogo.
From Harvard and Stanford and all these places... People who were in charge of monetizing Facebook, who worked at Google and Twitter, Pinterest, all the Instagram, and we're talking about high ups. We're talking about programmers. We're talking about, and these are not emotional people. These are analytical people. People who began the process of creating these, and they talk about how it was engineered to addict you. To there's a whole class at Stanford that was a seminar at Stanford. To get you kind of hooked on social media or to get you hooked on things. And when you listen to them say, go through the whole process of what it was supposed to be and kind of what it became, and no one was really out there trying to do evil things, but what has happened because of it? Basically, the machine has taken over. The AI on that, a lot of it is how programmed, and these are people at Twitter that will tell you, and Facebook, who say, look, we're former executives or engineers, we geared it to create algorithms that can predict. Every time you scroll on Instagram and you look at a video or watch a video, it times how long you watch it until you scroll to the next one. 2.2 seconds, 15. Once you have one that's 15 seconds, whatever type of video that is, it's going to start hitting your page more. It's it's going to start hitting your page more and more and more. On Facebook, same thing. You'll start noticing a certain type of YouTube, same thing. It learns your behaviors and your patterns, and it will learn it also for from an advertising standpoint. It does that as well. You'll notice that quickly. Mm-hmm. If you've Googled, if you've searched anything, mm-hmm. that product will start showing up on your social media. But they talk about the fact how it's basically a race with all these social media things to predict your behavior better than anything. And how there is an entire generation of people whose friendships were started and are or even if they weren't started, they're now cultivated through technology, whether it's text messages, Snapchat, social media of some sort, and how detrimental the amount of young people going for their driver's license after between 16 and 18, they said, is plummeting. My son didn't. My son doesn't. He turned 16. He didn't even care. Doesn't have any care about driving. That's all I wanted to do.
Right.
Because they're not going places. They're not seeing people.
Well, it's funny. My oldest didn't get her license until I think 18 or 19. And my younger two, the day of, I'm going to get my license.
But they strike me as social people.
Yeah.
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 But the.
Well, I made JT so he could drive his sister to school.
Yeah. Smart.
Yep. Well, JT, get in the car. I didn't take him to Home Depot. I took him to...
Decisions have to be made as a parent. Do you regret giving Frankie...
Yes, I regret that. She still shouldn't have a car.
Yeah.
No.
It's
all that money.
Isn't there? Can't you get a license taken away?
You get, like, for you a certain amount of points? Yeah, that happens.
Well, but none of these were reported. She had 3 accidents before she was 16, but none of them were reported. Well,
now you dry snitching.
How did you get around that?
I just paid for the cars. Yeah, I paid them.
Yeah. Hey, let's not get insurance.
And one woman, what a BIA
privilege over there.
One woman, BIA. It was a pain in my ass. Had to go get her car fixed in her driveway.
Oh well, you could have just let insurance take care of it.
No.
Oh, really?
No.
Uninsured.
Frankie wasn't insured. She didn't have a license. How was I supposed to do that?
So the woman's a pain in the ass, yet you had an uninsured driver out there who should have been driving.
It was my... this was me. I did this.
Yeah. And and since then, it's just been... She's like... What
do you mean since then?
Well, even after that, it was like bumper. It was like her cars have been bumper cars.
Oh, I thought you meant with the same lady. I thought she still were having issues.
No, not with that one. That was that. No, I fixed that. She was just a pain in the ass. That's all.
Well, imagine that. Some uninsured, too young to drive driver banged up her car.
She got her car fixed. Don't worry about it.
Hey, imagine that, Lance. A 50-year-old girl bangs up her car and she wants to make sure things get done right. That's surprising. Amazing. I know she went beyond the bounds of, you know, normal human
decency. Sounds like the B word.
Yeah. Excuse me, sir. Your daughter, who shouldn't have been driving and is uninsured, banged up my car.
Yeah.
And I got some demands for you.
Yeah.
Bitch.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, how about
B-word.
I just fix your car and you shut up? That's fine.
Shut up. Shut up and let me fix your
car.
Shut
up and drive.
Shut up and drive. It's 8:58 ESPN 97.5. Time for me to talk about
my
peeps.
Rental car now.
Hey.
Guess I'll get you one because I can't go through insurance.
Let's go to my bookie. Who do you got tonight? Burrow or Baker?
I think I'm going to go Burrow.
Really?
Yeah.
First road start, you're taking
Wow.
Burrow?
Wow. Now, Baker's- here's the problem is the Browns are good on a non-Sunday game. It's just a non-Sunday game. The Browns good? Are actually good.
Good?
Yeah, good. Yeah.
They did beat Pittsburgh last year.
Yeah, they got Mason Rudolph to become a racist on a Thursday night.
A pretend racist.
So which way are you going to go? Go to mybookie.ag, promo code radio, and you can bet. You can win. You get paid. That's the thing about mybookie.ag, promo code radio. And we got football back, people. You love to bet football. So here's the deal. Is if you ain't been on before, this is your first deposit, they'll match it. Put in $1,000, and they'll match $1,000. Okay? So you can win. You win. They pay. So you're going to love it. You're going to love mybookie.ag promo code. They got all the wagers you could possibly want at every sport, even elections, movies. Yeah, everything. It's unbelievable when you get there. Plus casino, everything else that you could possibly want to gamble on. Mybookie.ag promo code radio.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.